Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I am Santi Cazorla, and you are listening to Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle, Giroud! It's two!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 14th of March 2016. I'm Russell Hargreaves. On the show this week, Andrew Mangan from the superb Ars blog stops by to look ahead to the remainder of the season. Per Mertesacker talks to us about the best atmospheres he's experienced at the Emirates, and Adrian Clarke previews a must-win game against Everton at Goodison Park. But let's kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal welcomed Watford to the Emirates on Sunday lunchtime as they continued the defence of their FA Cup crown. The Gunners took the game to the Hornets in the opening period and were unlucky not to go ahead when Olivier Giroud's effort was ruled out for offside early on.
It's just what's in front of you that is the most important fixture. Arsenal coming forward through Campbell. This is Alexis, takes it down, looks for Giroud, who's offside. It's a good finish, but it won't count.
It was a really good finish, but what a slick move as well. You know, straight through the middle of Watford, Arsenal cut them to ribbons, and Giroud maybe a yard offside when Alexis just pokes it through to him, but it could be a sign of things to come again. Arsenal just drift in between the lines of Watford.
It was the closest that either team would go to breaking the deadlock as they went in goalless at the break. After Arsenal had bossed the majority of the first half, it was the visitors who took the lead 5 minutes after the restart through Odion Ighalo. And then 20 minutes later, they doubled their lead courtesy of a moment of magic.
Still Troy Deeney needs an out ball. Still inside the box, a twist and a turn, and then Guardiola blasts it, goal! Oh, what a goal! Oh, you have to say, that is absolutely extraordinary. Watford have got a second, and it's the hit that you will not see again all season because that was so ferocious into the top corner. Watford have got a second, and Arsenal have got a mountain to climb.
Arsene Wenger responded with a triple substitution, and it was one of those changes, Danny Welbeck, who gave his team a lifeline 2 minutes from time.
It's cleared away by Watford only as far as Welbeck. The back heel from Ozil to Welbeck! Arsenal have got a goal back and we've got 2 minutes 15 seconds remaining here. Suddenly the Gunners squad are saying get back, we might still have enough time.
That goal set up a grandstand finale which included this incredible sequence at the death.
Flicks it towards Kieran Gibbs, now it's with Alexis, on towards Ozil, back towards Alexis, driving forward, Welbeck wants it, so does Ozil, inside the penalty area, pull it back here, Alexis inside the box, can he pull the trigger? Still Alexis, it ricochets away, Watford will clear only momentarily, and Welbeck!
Oh, oh, get in!
And another opportunity, Welbeck!
Oh, no, has he missed?
I can't believe he's missed it!
No way! I cannot believe that. I thought a hurricane had come in and blew me and Dan nearly out of the stadium, but oh, the chances there.
That would prove to be the Gunners' final chance in the game as Watford secured a trip to Wembley for the semi-finals. After the game, Arsene Wenger reflected on his team's long FA Cup winning run coming to an end.
It's our long, long run in the FA Cup comes to an end and, in a very sad way because I don't think we deserve to lose this game. We have to look at ourselves maybe on the first goal. The second goal was a fantastic shot. And I felt that it was a real cup game where they defended very well, took their chances on the break, the few they had. And as long as we didn't win the first goal, they kept belief. They were physically very strong. And overall, I think we had enough chances to win this game.
The boss also spoke about the trip to Barcelona on Wednesday.
We have shown that you can respond always. You know, I think this team has a great spirit, a great, very strong attitude, and they play at the moment with the idea that you cannot afford anything, result, you know. But we can deal with that, and we deal with the fact that we have a good opportunity to show on Wednesday night that we are up for it. We want to make the impossible possible, and we know we play against a very strong side, and it's important that we go there and focus and show a very good response.
So with the defence of the FA Cup now over, the squad turn their attention to that clash at the Camp Nou on Wednesday night. If Arsenal are to get anything from that game, then Per Mertesacker and the Gunners' defence will have to be at their very best. We'll talk to him next. Per Mertesacker has captained Arsenal for most of the 2015-16 season in Mikel Arteta's absence. He spoke to Arsenal media's Liam Roberts about the role the Emirates crowd can play in the team's title running.
The Leicester game, it felt like they sucked that ball into the net from Welbeck's header. Is that the loudest you've ever heard it there, like when that goal went in?
It was emotional feeling, I think, for everyone. It was a big moment for the club, and keeps us believing and going, believing in the dream of winning a title, of winning a Premier League title, and I think that was a big relief. And the final seconds of a game, it's always been emotional when you know now the game is over. It was really the last occasion, and it was really the last chance to score. So it was a big moment of relief. And it was well executed by the fans and by the players as well, to embrace the moment the most we possibly could.
I've noticed as well, so the Barcelona game, the fans were told to get there early, kind of build the atmosphere. So, like you said, in the warm-up, like, there were so many fans within the stadium, like half an hour before kickoff. Does that kind of, do you feel that when you're out there warming up?
It can make a difference as well, I think. To get us going already in warm-up. I mean, we want to see how the fans are doing as well. It's not only us. When you feel already everyone is in the stands and ready for the game, they already want to prepare themselves as well, you know, to keep the tension or to raise the tension in the stadium. That was a good feeling already at warm-up, so it was a good idea. We want to take every opponent the same, or treat every opponent the same. That means with every respect. And so it's going to be a tough challenge every single game, even when it's going to be tough when you underestimate any team in the league. So let's not do that mistake and think, yeah, we have won it already. That's going to be the biggest mistake you can ever make in professional football. So let's have really the tension for a proper fight and a proper challenge, and that is to respect every opponent, no matter where they stand or no matter what position in the league table. And I think it's the same for the fans.
For you personally, what's kind of the best atmosphere or the best moment you've ever experienced at Emirates?
Any derby against Tottenham is a special moment for the fans. You can feel that. I mean, Champions League night games are special as well, but derbies against Tottenham are when you have peak performance, like we used to win 5-2 in two consecutive seasons. These were the moments when I scored as well. Yeah. These were the most emotional moments for me at this club, and that moment was just unbelievable. When you feel everyone is really up for a challenge, but as well, when you contribute with a goal as well, that is buzzing from top to bottom. That was one of my most emotional moments at Arsenal.
You feel Arsenal will need to take maximum points from their remaining 5 Premier League home games, and the Emirates crowd could make all the difference, like they did in that game against Leicester City back in February. It's half-time in this week's show, so it's time for a history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Can you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit them. Oh, a great goal!
It's off for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 14th of March 1998, Arsenal beat Manchester United 1-0 at Old Trafford on the way to winning that season's Premier League. With the game looking set to end goalless, Mark Overmars popped up 11 minutes from time and did this.
Oh, it's Overmars. He's done it this time. Arsenal have scored a Premiership goal at Old Trafford, and it could well be a winning goal in this match and a double over United this season.
Overmars would score 16 goals that season, including one in the FA Cup final. But it was this one that was most crucial. Here he is speaking about that day at Old Trafford.
We knew before we played we had to win. I remember the goal, it was the pass of Petit, and I knew that Anelka could jump very well, and it's important for a winger to always create your own chances. Hey, where can I can be dangerous? Where can I succeed? Where can I be involved of the goal? So you always have to run, and 10 times running, 8 times you run for nothing, but 2 times you score. And I had, I think, against United also always a good, you know, good feeling. The big games, and yeah, I'm always like to, you know, to get prepared and to show the world that you're the best in the big games. I remember I took it with my chest one time, and it came for my left foot. I thought. No, yeah, it turned the league for us at that moment.
The win left Arsenal 6 points behind United, but crucially with 3 games in hand. The Gunners would go on to win 8 games in a row, clinching the Premier League crown with 2 games remaining. And just 2 weeks later, they'd complete the double with a 2-0 win over Newcastle United in the FA Cup final. We'll have another history lesson on next week's podcast, but next we'll hear from our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Our Arsenal insider this week is from the superb Arse blog, and it's Andrew Mangan, who's back on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. Andrew, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay, apart from the obvious, the football side of things. Apart from that, I'm fine, personally.
Good. Well, good to hear that side of it. And as you say, it's not been the best of times, unfortunately. What I want to start with, I think, is, if I can, is how do Arsenal now approach and deal, in your mind, with this huge Champions League game coming up in midweek, given where perhaps their priorities for the season now lie on the back of that cup loss?
That is the million-dollar question. It really is. On the one hand, you don't want to go to Barcelona and get completely tired out ahead of what's going to be a very important game against Everton at the weekend. But on the other, you don't want to go out there and get absolutely spanked either. I think morale and confidence are so low at this moment in time that another heavy defeat or a bad defeat might have a really debilitating effect on a team that's already struggling. So it's going to be a huge balancing act for the manager. But I suppose if there's a positive about going to Barcelona and playing Barcelona, it's that it is such a high-profile fixture, and it is a game that all the players are going to want to play in. And maybe they can dig deep then to get a result or a performance in this particular game, and maybe the benefits then will be evident in the Everton game. But it's such a difficult one to try and find the balance.
And how do you see, that aside, the Barcelona game panning out in terms of Arsenal's best chances? Clearly trying to get an early goal is absolutely critical, isn't it? But it's such a tough place to go.
Absolutely. The one thing you would say is that Barcelona won't necessarily change their style of play. It's not like they're going to sit off and try and hit us on the counter-attack. We know they're going to have lots of the football. We know that they're going to attack really well. But what does make it a little bit more difficult is that we actually have to go and try and score goals, which may leave us a little bit more exposed at the back. So I suspect what the manager might do is something akin to what he did against Bayern Munich at home this season. Sit deep, try and defend and then try and make the most of the pace that we have in the side to hit them on the break as and when we get the few opportunities we do that. The worry, of course, is that we're not terribly clinical in front of goal. We're so profligate when we do get chances. But I think that's probably the best way to try and go about it. If we go hell for leather at Barcelona straight away, there's only one way that's going to turn out, I think.
Mm. No, it is a very, very tough and, as you say, a difficult challenge to try and approach tactically as well. But we have seen, haven't we, before, Andrew, Arsenal backs against the walls after either a poor run of form or a specific bad result, come back and do something impressive and something positive.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tiffin, may not necessarily be enough to get through, but I wonder if we might at least see something in that regard.
Yeah, I really hope so. I'm going over for the game, so I'm really hoping that we can pull out a performance. I think, you know, at the back of it all, as bad as things have been in recent times, and they have been quite bad, is that you know that the players are capable of better, and that they are capable of better performances and doing things, doing the simple things more effectively. So at some point, you'd hope it would just sort of click back in. And if that happens on Wednesday night against Barcelona, then all the better.
Obviously, Danny Welbeck was a man who came on and made a real difference at the weekend. And, OK, could and should have had another goal, clearly, toward the end. But I wonder whether his influence and he, as an option, could be very important in the weeks to come.
Yes, he's looked good, hasn't he, since he came back into the side. I think he's 3 goals now in his appearances since he came back from injury. And he gives us something just a little bit different up front. Olivier Giroud and Theo Walcott are very, very different strikers in terms of how they play. But Welbeck is like a combo of the two of them, and his pace and his power, his directness. And I think the fact as well that at this point in the season, we're in March, and he hasn't really played very much. He's got really fresh legs. He doesn't have the fatigue of a whole season under his belt. So I think that's important. I'd really like to see him have a go. Given that we spoke about needing a bit of pace against Barcelona, I would be very inclined to start him up front on Wednesday night, because I think he can cause them problems, perhaps a few more than the other options.
Obviously, having no Aaron Ramsey for a few weeks is going to be a problem, isn't it? But again, a chance for other players to step up in a couple of positions, either in the middle of the park or sometimes in that advanced three behind the strikers. So I just wonder whether the Elnenis and perhaps even, you know, Iwobi, these kind of guys might get some opportunities here or there.
Well, certainly Elneny has looked good. I've enjoyed watching him. You know, the positives are hard to find at the moment, but his finishing aside against Watford, I thought he was really positive, and he added something to the midfield that hasn't been there for a while. We had a player who dropped deep to pick the ball up off the centre halves. He moved to get the passes back and just added a little bit of dynamism and rhythm to the midfield that hasn't been there in recent weeks. So, yeah, I mean, it is a chance for him to establish himself in a way. You know, he wasn't a cheap signing by any means, the manager has obviously seen something in him, and this is a chance for him to really to show that he's ready for first-team football at Arsenal. And again, you look at somebody like Iwobi, who was effective when he came on yesterday, hit the post, you know, nearly provoked that equalising goal. So, yeah, I think when things are bad, you have to try different things and you have to look at different options. And if it provides an opportunity for a player to come through, we've seen it with Francis Coquelin, we've seen it with Hector Bellerin, injuries perhaps open the door for a certain player. And if they can take that chance, then it could turn out to be a positive thing.
Got to ask you about one or two of the defensive issues, Andrew, that Arsenal have been suffering. And there seems to be a key theme repeating at times for some of these key goals that Arsenal are shipping in vital matches and at vital moments as well.
Yes, yes. You do wonder how much of that has got to do with confidence and belief. You know, we've been without Laurent Koscielny. The fullbacks have changed over the last couple of games as well. But you would expect those players to be able to come in and do better and defend better. You know, when you look at the goals that we've been conceding, they're all pretty much avoidable. They don't come down necessarily just to individual mistakes, but collective mistakes and perhaps a lack of organisation at the back and in midfield as well, whether they're getting the protection they need. We've been cut open a bit too easily lately. So it is a worry when you concede goals, because that does affect your confidence, that if you get a run of clean sheets under your belt, you suddenly feel like, OK, we're not going to concede today. One goal or two goals might be enough to win the game. But, you know, Arsenal are looking at games where they're having to score two or three goals to try and win them. So, yeah, I mean, you'd like to see those defensive errors cut out. But again, when your next game is against Lionel Messi, Neymar and Luis Suarez, it's got to be a frightening prospect for the Arsenal defenders.
Now, I'm going to ask you, beyond this Barcelona game, you've mentioned Everton, we'll talk to Adrian Clarke about that in a few minutes, but how do you honestly envisage, Andrew, the next few weeks panning out in terms of hopefully a fight back from Arsenal and their attempts to try and close that gap to the top to Leicester and Spurs in the Premier League title race?
Well, what I'd like to happen and what I think will happen are probably different things. Obviously, I'd like for us to spark ourselves back into life. I think we've got to win at Everton on Saturday, but it's a tall order coming back from Barcelona in the small hours of Thursday morning and travelling to play at 12:45 on Saturday. It's going to be hugely physically testing for the team. And it feels like perhaps if that was a result that they could achieve against Everton, that might just spark them back into life. Or restore some measure of confidence. I think they're so low and so shorn of belief right now that it's hard to see how they can turn it around. But as I said to you at the start, we know that they are capable of playing better. We know that they're capable of scoring more goals, of defending better, of simply just playing better football than they are at the moment. It's just how he gets them to do that again. I'm not sure how. To be honest, he's tried different combinations. He's tried different players up front. But as a collective, I think the team is really struggling. And unless Arsene Wenger finds some way of addressing that, then it really does feel like any chance of catching Leicester, which I think is extremely remote anyway, will be even greater.
One thing I would say, just on a positive note, is after this couple of games, the fixture list does ease a little bit, doesn't it, for Arsenal, which is a chance to maybe take a bit of stock, get out on the training ground and get a few bodies either back or get them a bit fresher. If they're still in the hunt by then, that might be quite a key factor.
Yeah, you've got Santi Cazorla, who's going to be back at the start of April, and certainly he's a guy who would add something to this team, and hopefully Jack Wilshere can make a return before the end of the season and add something different. So yeah, I mean, you look beyond this particular week as one after which things will become a little easier from a fixture point of view, but whether they become any easier from a footballing point of view, that's the big question, isn't it?
And just to finish off, Andrew, tell us about what's coming up or what's worth a mention on Arseblog.
Well, we're trying to make sense of everything as we try and do. So all the news and our couple of podcasts a week. We've got a podcast out today as well, looking back at what happened at Watford. So people just want to click onto arseblog.com and they can find their way around and they'll find something they like, I'm sure.
Sounds good. That is Andrew Mangan joining us, of course, from Arseblog. And as ever, my friend, we appreciate your thoughts and all the best for the coming days and weeks. And of course, enjoy a trip out to the Nou Camp. Hope you have a really good time there in and around the game. I'm sure you will.
I'll do my best and fingers crossed we can get something from it.
Speaker! Adrian Clarke will be in the matchday show hosting seat for the Gunners' trip to Goodison Park this coming Saturday. Clarke, you've got a bit of a bad back this morning, I hear.
I am miserable this morning. I've got a really sore back, I'm a bit hunched over, and we've been knocked out of the FA Cup, so I'm not happy.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll try and get through the next couple of minutes as best we can. You're not your normal sprightly chirping
self. I'll try and pick up.
Yeah, up your game for us, pal. Up your game. Now, one of those grounds that Arsenal always seem to struggle at is Goodison Park, isn't it? So how do we see this game against Everton
shaping up? It's a toughie, that's for sure, because Everton will be buoyed by the fact that they knocked Chelsea out of the FA Cup last weekend, and they're scoring an awful lot of goals, Everton. So they will come into the match with a degree of confidence. Obviously, at the back, they've got their own issues. But from open play, only Manchester City have scored more than the Toffees. And I think that tells you all you need to know, really, about the threats they pose, particularly on home turf. So this is a match where Arsenal are going to have to defend very well.
You look at a player like Romelu Lukaku, started the season like a house on fire, then had a quiet spell by his lofty standards. But just in the last few weeks for me, Aid, he's really refound top form. And of course, we saw that last weekend.
Yeah, what a goal that was, by the way, against Chelsea. It showed his qualities because he's got the skill, he's got the power, and also a really cool head, I think, inside the box when chances present themselves. So he is a really promising front man, no doubt about that. And he's in confident mood. So he is the one player that you need to look after in this game. They don't have a great backup to him, I've got to say, at Everton. I'd have to say that that's a weakness in terms of their squad balance. If something happens to him, they don't have an adequate replacement, but fortunately for them, he's been fit most of the year.
We could talk about so many other of their attacking players, the De La Feus, and the list goes on, but I'll just highlight Ross Barkley as well as another brilliant young talent who, for me, this season has really started to mature and maybe hit a bit more of a consistent, lofty kind of perch.
Well, he's found end product. I think that is the difference. He's always been talented. Mm. He's always been able to ghost past players and look exciting. But in previous years, I felt he flattered us to deceive in some respects. This year he's added goals and he's added assists, and it has made such a difference for Everton. So, he is a man that you can't really take your eyes off.
Mental fragility has been a bit of a theme in a few clubs, hasn't it, in recent times? What would you say about Everton in that regard? Because they've had their problems where they've let leads slip. I think of that West Ham game. They were down to 10 men, but still, that was a shocker.
It's happened a few times, hasn't it? Yeah, Roberto Martinez has been under pressure for not shutting up shop, because Everton, as I've explained, have had no problem scoring goals, actually, no problem taking leads. It's then they've been a bit gung-ho, maybe gone for the third, the fourth, the fifth, and thrown away good positions. And unfortunately, defensively, they're not quite good enough to do that. They don't have what I would call a watertight defence. And in midfield as well, there's a slight slowness, dare I say. I think Gareth Barry has been a great footballer. Well, not a great footballer, a very good Premier League footballer, but his legs have gone to some degree. So he doesn't offer brilliant protection. And a little bit like Arsenal, they like their fullbacks to bomb forward. So they will give you chances, Everton.
So where do you think Everton will hurt the Gunners in this game, particularly?
There are a number of ways that they can hurt us, because you've got the threat of De La Feo and Lennon out wide. I think both of those guys have been excellent at times this season. Unfortunately for Everton, not at the same time. It's been feast or famine to some degree. But one of them has usually been in the groove, supplying good crosses, good quality into the box. That's one avenue for sure. Obviously, in behind, Romelu Lukaku has got the power to destroy anybody. And then if you give Ross Barkley a head of steam, if you give him 5 yards to run at you, he'll hurt you. So they're just three. There are more, unfortunately.
So key, obviously, that Arsenal hit back, Adrian, and win this game after what's been
definitely
happening.
Yeah.
Where could they do that? Well, what's their best chance?
Well, I think on the counter-attack, because Everton will leave gaps, for sure. The fullbacks, Coleman and Baines, they fly forward. And in truth, the central defenders aren't the most mobile for Everton. Funes Mori isn't the best, I don't think. Jagiel Cruyff is fit, not quite as quick as he used to be. Stones is a good player, but he does make mistakes as well. So I think on the counter, and also, you've got to test Tim Howard. Tim Howard is not having a good season. For me, I think he's maybe a keeper that's past his best. So, you know, bombard him is what I say.
Right then, Clarkie, a couple of traditional questions to finish. What would you say is the key battleground?
I don't think you can look outside of Romelu Lukaku. I really don't. He has hurt Arsenal in this fixture in the past. And it's Lukaku and Mertesacker. And I've got to say, based on current form, it's a duel that worries me a little bit because Lukaku has got so much power, so much pace and confidence. But Mertesacker has proven that he can handle top strikers. He did brilliantly against Lewandowski here in the Champions League. So he's capable, but he's got to play this one really cool, as has Laurent Koscielny or Gabriel if they're involved. But I'm seeing that matchup as Lukaku against Mertesacker as one to look out for.
And in a sentence, how do you beat Everton?
There are different ways to beat Everton. You can go toe-to-toe and you could end up with a 4-3 game. But I think Everton have been most susceptible this season to counter-attacks. Sit deep in this one, defend for your life and hit them hard and fast on the break. That, I think, is the way to beat Everton.
Clarkie, a pleasure. I hope the back improves and I hope you have a better week.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Me too.
You can join Adrian and Nigel Winterburn for all the pre-match build-up from 12:15pm UK time on Arsenal.com and then for uninterrupted commentary from 12:45. That's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Per Mertesacker, to Andrew Mangan, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. And remember, if you haven't already, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, then you'll never miss a new show. We're back on Monday, the 21st of March, and until then, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast on iTunes, or listen to a new show every Monday on Arsenal.com and SoundCloud. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.